Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, how's it going? What's going on?
Nothing. I mean, nothing happened this weekend. No. It was a silent weekend in Music City.
Totally quiet. Nothing going on here. Corey,
well, I mean, the statue police were out. Well, but that was it.
Oh, there was that. Yes.
There was that.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah. You can get back into a Twitter fight if you want to.
Good topic, Corey. Yeah, let's please not do that.
Corey, appreciate you joining us this morning. So what did you think of this weekend? Obviously, the result not going the way the Predators wanted it to, but you've got more than 68,000 people there at Nissan Stadium for a hockey game. It was a wonderful environment and just another example of this city putting on a great event. What did you think of the stadium series here in Nashville?
Well, I think they got 4 points this week, which overall isn't bad considering the competition that they played. And, you know, obviously the Lightning are back-to-back cup champions, and you spent too much time in the penalty box from a game front. You know, we were debating yesterday at the office, where does the Stadium Series game lie in the pantheon of sporting events in Nashville? Because, I mean, I didn't get to go. Kayla was there. I believe Emily was there. And, you know, it was a spectacle, without question. I mean, you know, just seeing it on television, you know, it was a sight, and you know, to have 68,000 fans for a hockey game, and all the country artists, and this, you know, the stadium looked great. I mean, it was another, you know, shining star for our city and our ability to put on big time events, you know, and it was a good game, you know, on top of it. So I mean, for anybody who wondered what it would look like in Nashville, I think for the people here, it looked pretty much exactly like we expected it to. But, you know, for anybody who doubted still, you know, I think we've kind of put to bed, if you have an event here, it's going to be pretty special.
No doubt. So we were wondering aloud earlier, maybe you have a good answer. What's the next big event in Nashville? And I'm not counting SEC football media days.
No. How about the women's basketball tournament this week?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we know. But I'm saying, what's the next the next to-be-scheduled here event? The next big thing we get that we don't have yet?
You know, I mean, would we include a repeat of the NFL draft? Or
yeah. Yeah. I think they'd come here every other year if they could.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's eventually coming back, but as far as drawing another event, I mean, are they remotely in the ballpark for a college football playoff game? I don't know what the logistics of that are. I don't know if the Music City Bowl can get in that mix. I don't know. I mean, the Combine is still in Indy, but the Combine's different. It's not the party.
Right.
These other events are. So, you know, we've had the NHL draft, we've had the NHL All-Star game. It's a good question. I mean, as far, you know, the NFL draft, like I said, it's a repeat. But as far as a new event, that would be interesting to see what else is out there. You know, what would be really cool is if when they got the racetrack fixed up at the fairgrounds, if you held the NASCAR All-Star race there.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. That's a good call. And of course, you know, the World Cup is very, you know, 4 years from now is in play.
That.
So
I forgot
we'll see.
About that, yeah. I mean, I kind of think they'd be crazy not to come here at this point, but that's me.
Corey, as Joe Rexroad is as well, you are a very good operator of the poll question on the Twitter app. Yeah, just really good stuff from you. I saw your poll question that you put up yesterday, which says, quote, but by the way, at Corey Curtis 2 on Twitter, says, the NHL trade deadline is March 21st. If the Predators cannot sign Philip Forsberg before then, should they trade him? And I've asked different versions of this question, and the responses that I've gotten are really all over the place. What are your thoughts on the Philip Forsberg situation? And if they can't come to a deal by the deadline, do you think that's what the Predators should do? Should they move Philip Forsberg?
Well, The last I saw my results, they were pretty much 50-50. I mean, it was like 53-47. I mean, because it's a tough question. It is. But, I mean, I was here for Ryan Suter. And believe me, I loved Ryan Suter. Ryan Suter is a phenomenal player. Phenomenal player. And to see him leave and not get anything for him was tough. I mean, it's tough. And so, you know, with Philip Forsberg, especially with the way that he's playing, I mean, how much could you get for him at the deadline this year? A first-round pick and more,
yeah.
Right? And for me, I couldn't do it. I mean, I couldn't not trade him. I'd have to deal him. As painful as it is, I believe they've got enough other guys who can score, not at his level. And, you know, they have not had a lot of guys like him in their history, but if he's not going to resign, he's not going to resign. And, you know, I'm not going to put all my eggs into this year's basket because as good as this team has been, you know, I think getting to the cup final for them would be a big overachievement. And so I think I would have to deal him. I would have to pinch my nose and do it.
So then you get into – you're in a strong playoff position. You trade him. You fall apart. You don't make the playoffs.
Well, then you have a higher draft pick. And you weren't good enough anyway. Look, the St. Louis Blues traded away one of their best players a few years ago and went on to win the Stanley Cup. You know, and when the Philip Forsberg was down this year, the Predators did not stop winning games. They were still winning games. And so, you know, like I said, I won't put all my eggs in this one-year basket with a guy who I can get. And look, I'm not going to give him away. I'm not going to get, you know, if somebody's like, I'll give you a third at my third-line defense pairing. You know, I'm not doing that. But, you know, if I can get a one and a two and, you know, second line forward or I don't know something, you know, I'm gonna do it. I mean he's worth too many assets to not go get. And you know, I'm not as educated as Robbie probably is, or and you Joe, on what else is in the system, you know, coming up to score goals. But you know Tanner Janot and Yakov Trenin are young guys who are still at the, you know, the lower lines for the Predators, and they're scoring a bunch of goals. Luke Cunningham is also another younger player who's coming on. I don't know that any of them will ever be the scorer that Forsberg is, but, you know, you've got guys who are showing they can put it in the back of the net. And, you know, it's not like all those years with Trotsky, you know, when, you know, he was putting it together with Band-Aids and bubble gum, and we're like, oh my God, who's going to score a goal? It's not like that anymore. And I think, you know, that's one of the other things. I think, you know, for a lot of Pred fans who've been watching this team for over 20 years, you're still kind of shell-shocked from that of, oh, my God, we got a score. We can't let him go, you know, because they haven't had scores in their history. And they've got some guys who can put the puck in the net. Listen, I don't want to see him traded. I want to see him signed and stay here, okay? I view him as a core player. But if he wants $11.5 million a year or something ridiculous – you know, and you can't afford it, then you can't afford it. I mean, that's just, you know, that's the way it is. It takes two to tango. You got to get there together.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, the NFL Combine taking place this week. We've talked a lot about wide receiver and tight end and all these different positions. How likely do you think it is that the Titans draft a quarterback in the first round? We've heard that thrown out there, too, that you take a look at the quarterbacks in this year's draft. How likely do you think it is they go QB with their first pick?
I don't think it's impossible. I mean, Tannehill's what, 33 years old?
Yep.
Going to be 34. And, you know, you're about 2 years away from possibly moving on from his contract. And so if you drafted a Pickett at 26, if he was available, you know, you could develop him for however long. You're not, you know, you're in that same Alex Smith scenario where you don't have to rush him out there. And you know, I would, you know, I don't want to put a percentage on it, but I don't think it's impossible. But look, it depends on what kind of grade they have on these guys, and are they available when they pick? I mean, I think that's a big part of it. You know, I don't, you know, you go into the draft knowing that, you know, hey, if this guy's there, we're going to do it. But, you know, some guys go into a draft knowing, hey, it doesn't matter where this guy is, we're going to go get him. I mean, that's the way the Chiefs were with Patrick Mahomes. I don't know that I see that scenario with the Titans, but it'll be interesting to see if the right guy is there, if they pulled the trigger. I continue to pound the table that they need to find a trading partner to trade down and get into the second round and get another pick in the third as well if they can, and load up on picks in those rounds, because I think they can help themselves just as much with an additional pick or two in the first 3 to 4 rounds.
What's the number one question that should be asked of John Robinson this week in Indy, Corey?
You know, I was thinking about that. And look, I think the first one is going to be, are you close with Harold Landry? You know, because that's the first domino in a lot of things on how they, you know, kind of build the team moving forward, you know, because then they're going to have to figure out how they structure that deal. But, you know, we know they're like $6-8 million over. And, you know, you figure a Landry deal is going to put them at least another $8-10 million over. And I know it will be more than that, but I'm going to say the way they're going to structure the deal is going to lower the number in the first year. And so they're going to have to cut more guys, you know, to get there. So I think for me, that's the first big question is do you feel, you know, are you close and are you bringing this guy back?
Well, Joe Rexrow is going to be there asking the hard-hitting stuff. I'm ready for it this week.
Well, I asked that question so I could steal the – it's a good idea. Thank you. Landry, no, it is.
Well, I'll be there next to you, so I'll try and race you.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, a battle.
Oh, man.
I'm here for it.
That's going to make it more difficult.
I like
maybe
it.
Maybe instead I'll ask about who the next Titans number that gets retired should be.
Yeah. Ooh. Maybe statue? Who gets a statue?
Oh, there you go. Well, I'll ask if he likes Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback.
Is Tannehill your quarterback?
Come on, John. Really? Is he?
Ugh. I mean, here's another question, and I guess this one would take some brass ones to ask. Is you say you're not going to micro-evaluate him on one game, but are you evaluating him one game, or are you evaluating him on 5 playoff games?
Yeah, I like that. I like that one a lot.
I mean, I'm writing that down.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. Have fun in Indy.
All right, I appreciate it. But before I go, I'm going to meet with your boss, and I'm going to do what I can to get a Robbie and Rexrow statue put out for
the
studios.
Thank you very much. What a pretty statue that would be.
Made of what?
Cheetos.
Beer cans.
For your Lego hair.
Yes, that's right. Corey, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for coming on with us.
Later, guys.
See ya. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rexrow. We'll come back, react to what Corey had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's. Jasper's is a casual restaurant and bar located on West End Avenue, equipped with TVs, a game room available for private events, a grab-and-go market, and free parking. Yep, free parking downtown. We know what a big deal that is. This neighborhood spot is Nashville's new go-to restaurant and bar. You can try their selection of elevated bar food ranging from appetizers to great chicken sandwiches to flatbread pizzas and the famous Smash Burger, as well as any of their delicious cocktails. So visit my friends at Jasper's, located at 1918 West End Avenue. Once again, that's 1918 West End Avenue, and tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Thanks to Corey Curtis for joining us in the last segment. I got some tickets to give away. Be caller number 5 at 615-737-1025. Caller number 5, 615-737-1025. You will win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Anaheim Ducks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Thursday, March the 10th. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win those tickets. If you're looking for Preds tickets, Nashville Predators regular season tickets to all games are on sale now. More information on Preds tickets can be found to going to nashvillepredators.com/tickets. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This will make Joe Rexroad feel better. Paul texting in says, my son plays travel hockey in Nashville. Weekends are in Atlanta, Huntsville, Birmingham, Knoxville, etc. Can totally relate to the feeling of winning those first few tournament games on Sunday afternoon. It's brutal. This is coming from Paul on the text line.
I mean, like, again, you know, you want things to – you want your kid to win. You want everybody to be happy. Katie texted me, and, you know, I wasn't sure Katie was listening or not. I was kind of hoping she wasn't. But she texted me, and she was like, you know, for the record, it was just because it was freezing rain beating down.
So. Yeah, she's not trying to, like, actively root against her children. That's good.
Yeah, like, right. Remember that was the fourth game. That's a good day.
That's a long
like
day,
that's
man.
A good like, and that's a good tournament that gives you three games for sure.
Oh yeah,
and well, actually, it gives you four games for sure. You get three prelim games, then you get into the single elimination. Boom, you know you got four games. That's great.
God, it's a long.
So
day.
So you're prepared, and especially you're mentally and emotionally prepared because you've seen your team lose three times. Like, okay, well. Maybe just the talent in this tournament is a little bit higher, but this is all about kids getting better, working on skills, you know, trying to have fun. Of course, you want to win, but you're prepared to lose in that fourth game of the day.
You are,
and then you don't. Yay!
Hey,
I read it sarcastically. Maybe it was actually a yay, but
maybe it was.
Maybe it was actually you in your head being like, yay. Yeah. And Katie actually was happy.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Maybe. It could be.
Probably.
I feel like your voice is...
It's coming back.
It's recovering.
It's coming back. Yeah. Guys, the morning is really tough. I've drank the entire lemon tea. We're good. Oh. We're rolling.
You're okay. Getting back in there. I like it.
Good.
This is an impressive recovery.
Well, maybe I should. Let's talk more about talk how more about overrated Rupp, Rupp is, and we'll see if we can really get...
Listen, my voice was really bad when you guys were on with Mike Wilson, and I couldn't. I tried. It wasn't...
She wasn't going to speak.
Sometimes
anything.
I'll speak before I turn the mic on just to make sure. It wasn't going to be good.
Nate on the text line says, what is Corey talking about the Titans being over the cap and having a hard time signing guys? I thought the cap wasn't a real thing, according to 2 p.m. to 6 p.m.
Oh, my gosh. That, so on the same day that Hines on the hot seat and the cap – again, I get like the cap doesn't exist. There's a – yeah, there's a lot of manipulation that can be done for sure.
Yeah.
So then I asked Jared, I'm like, okay, so why – when they cut, you know, whoever they cut, Jenkins, Saffel, whoever it is it just because they don't like them? And then he's like, well, because they're just not good enough, as good as players or something like that. Like, yeah. What? I don't know, man.
Give me Aaron Brewer. Get him out there. Come on.
Yeah, they just don't, you know, just don't want Roger Saffold around anymore. I mean, Roger Saffold, of John Robinson's free agent signings.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He's one of the best.
Yeah.
But the cap literally makes it tough to keep him.
I see what you did there. Even you use literally. That doesn't happen very often.
I mean, I think there was that was literal.
It was. The NFL Combine this week, as we just established, both you and Corey Curtis will be there, so that'll be fun. What are you looking forward to from John Robinson and Mike Vrabel this week? Do we think we get any updates on the Harold Landry saga this week, or do we get a, yeah, still working on it, still ongoing?
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where there's going to be comments that then we're going to analyze and maybe overanalyze. So I think back to 2 years ago. 2 years ago, gosh, it seems longer ago, but it was 2 years ago. It was after the 19 run. Henry and Tannehill, of course, were up, and it, you know, I certainly made a deal. This I remember. I wrote about this, you know. I guess quotes about Henry were a lot stronger than the quotes about Tannehill.
Yep.
So now again, as it turns out, you know, they end up, well, they signed Tannehill, they tagged Henry, and eventually got the long-term deal done with him. So, you know, you got to be careful to overreact, but it doesn't mean it won't happen. I think, you know, the Landry thing is interesting. Look, I still think that quarterback discussion is valid here. I mean, John Robinson, since the season ended, was available to some people in Mobile, But he hasn't had like a full press. And again, this is going to Indy for it. I think a lot of people will be there. But whoever is there for the first time, including me, it's first chance to ask about all this stuff. So I think there'll be a wide range of topics. And, you know, Robinson, typically you can count on him. And it's more his area anyway, right? It's more his area to talk about personnel stuff than Vrabel.
Yeah.
So probably going to be more to come from his session than Vrabel's. Vrabel, though, did you see Vrabel apparently
I did.
With the cake?
I did.
Yeah, Vrabel and Will Compton with the cake?
Yes.
Apparently he was at the game the other night.
Are you going to ask Vrabel about why he says press conferences in Tennessee suck?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Oh, that's absolutely. What are you trying to say, man?
Is it him or is it you? That's what we got to find out.
We got to figure out who gets the blame. By the way, was Vrabel the one who tackled Catfish Jake? Are we sure he wasn't?
That was a good hit, man.
I mean, that looked like an NFL form tackle, outside man. Linebacker.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, thanks, buddy. So I'm not saying that, like, the combine, it's all right. I'm hoping that our execs are there and they're looking at linemen. And just because you were talking about Saffold, it got me thinking, what are the chances that we have four new linemen next year? That's a lot to replace. But I feel like it's a very good possibility. I see LaJuan. He's all over the media, pitching himself, saying, I'm worth it. But honestly, I could see him, you know, cutting him to save money. I don't think Saffold has a chance. And then Questenberry, I mean, he's not a boss or anything, man. I still don't understand Dennis Kelly not being here. I don't understand how Lamb was an upgrade from Kelly. So I could see. And then Ben Jones, he's old, right? And he's going to be expensive. So I feel like they got a shot at four new linemen.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam.
I think that'd be a big mistake.
I'd be surprised if that was the case. I mean, look, I think LaJuan's going to be here. Just reading the tea leaves, I think Taylor LaJuan's going to be back. Now,
if not, it's been a great farewell to him.
Yeah, it has. I don't think there's any question. But I think he's going to be back. You know, Nate Davis obviously is going to be here. Now, Saffold, I think there's a good chance he's gone. What do you do at right tackle? Is that where Dylan Raiden slides in? You know, do you bring back Ben Jones? How expensive is that going to be? Like, the offensive line could certainly look pretty different next year. I don't think there's any question about that. Four new ones? I don't know. Now, to Adam's point about Dennis Kelly, like to cut Dennis Kelly and then go get Kendall Lamb and pay Kendall Lamb the money you paid him, it was just like, okay, so why'd you cut Dennis Kelly?
Yeah,
to me, Dennis Kelly's a better player than Kendall
Lamb. He's clearly a better player. Yeah, and that's an evaluation, I think, mistake. I mean, Lamb didn't really show much at all, I didn't think, in terms of being a starter quality player. But I'm with you on LaJuan, obviously Nate Davis. I think Ben Jones, how expensive is he going to be? I guess that's an interesting question. If there's a significant market for Ben Jones, and I mean there could be, he's been a very good center for a long time. He's still not very old, then maybe you have to bow out of that.
I keep thinking that Ben Jones is like 41 years old. He's 32.
Yeah. It's crazy. Like when he got here. So when he got here, that was, by the way, free agent signing, Saffold, and put Ben Jones up there too. It was one of John Robinson's first ones. I thought he was 35.
Yeah.
He was like 26. So, okay. but I think you need him back. And yeah, I don't know about right tackle. I mean, a lot of this is like Raiden's has to fill one of those holes. TD thinks he is leaning more toward he might fill the left guard hole.
Yeah.
I think Raiden's, I mean, look, after the game against San Francisco when Raiden's played quite well, certainly way better than you would have expected, he said he considers himself a tackle, and I think that's still going to be the goal. There's a job right there to go earn. But you got to count on him, I think, or if not count on him, you got to really hope and give him every opportunity that he can take one of those two spots. But I think three guys – will not be new.
LD from McMinnville on the text line says, Stillman's reaction to a first-round offensive lineman pick will be priceless. It's coming from LD on the text line. It'll be hard to beat the Caleb Farley reaction from last year. That was good stuff.
It will be.
Oh, no.
But
Mark Howard just laughing.
Yes, I know. I need that dynamic again, whatever it is. And I need the Titans to make a wild pick Yeah, that would probably do it. Any kind of O-line pick.
Linderbaum. Yeah. At 26.
Although, like Linderbaum, if that's – okay, but if that's your move, okay, then you're not spending money to bring Ben Jones back.
Sure.
And like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if you think Linderbaum's going to be, you know, a standout center in this league for years to come, fine.
Look, I hear everything
you're
saying.
But if it's a random – that would be the only one, though.
Well,
right?
I hear everything you're saying. I'm just telling you, if the Titans use their first-round pick on a center, it's not going to go well here.
That's true. Yeah. No, you're right. So – root for that.
Yeah.
Root for that, Titans
Go
fan.
Print off those Linderbaum Titans jerseys right now. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the stadium series. What a weekend it was here in Nashville, Tennessee. More of that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Darren McFarland coming up at 9 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on an incredible weekend here in Nashville. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. I got a texter that says, you trade Forsberg while we can get a great return on him. We have enough up-and-coming forwards to lose Forsberg. This is coming from a texter. I'd say you have enough up-and-coming forwards to make you think that maybe you can replace Forsberg. I would be very hesitant to just assume that's going to happen.
Like, I hear what Corey was saying earlier about long-term Preds fans probably have that, you know, it's like Titans fans with a receiver, you know? Like, you know, many years they were scratching out, you know, they were, right? Didn't have that big-time star forward. So maybe you look at it a little differently in terms of you just can't let him go, but at the same time, like, he is the best forward they've had, so... And it's just not going to be easy to just plug someone in and replace that.
Well, I mean, he's got 27 goals. Like, he's going to end up with 40 goals this year. Maybe 45 with the way he's going right now. I mean, you just don't replace that. I mean, look, I think Philip Tomasino is going to be a good player. And actually, like, the way he's played this past week, I'm pretty encouraged by Philip Tomasino and the way he's responded. You know, I think with some of the draft picks that they've had, like LaRue, I think is a very interesting guy down, and I ain't spending too much time on Preds prospects.
Luke Evangelista.
Yeah, Luke Evangelista. Like, they've got a lot of guys that you feel good about, but how many times have we seen guys light it up at the lower levels, and then it's different here? I think, you know, Tolvanen's a good example of that right now. He lit it up wherever he was. KHL, junior, Olympics, didn't matter. And, you know, he's struggling right now goal scoring wise. I'm not saying he's playing poorly, but he's got 7 goals in 50 games this year. That's not what they brought him in for.
No.
So, I get it. I mean, look, if you're the Predators, I think they've done a great job of kind of restocking the cupboard and, you know, getting that system replenished. But guys like number 9, they don't grow on trees around here. I think it would behoove them to get him signed. Just my thoughts on the matter. We're getting down to crunch time.
Well, I think everybody can agree with that.
I don't know that everybody agrees with
but
that.
But, I mean, well, okay, so to the point, the conversation we had earlier, Corey said that.
Sure.
You know, yeah, of course, they need to sign him. But it's just the whole, okay, you can't sign him. You can't sign him. You don't know what might happen in the summer. So, what do you do?
Well, and
I don't think he'll trade him.
You got a text that says, yeah, 40 goals in a contract year. I mean, I hear you. Like, okay. Are you just supposed to ignore everyone's contract year from here on
out?
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, you know, Roman Josi played pretty well in a contract year, too. You're not supposed to sign him then? Like,
yeah.
I get it. He plays well every year. But Forsberg plays well every year. Like, that's the thing that's getting lost here. He doesn't play this well every year. Again, he's shooting 22%. It's ridiculous what he's shooting right now. So I get it. There's a difference. But the conversation with Forsberg, to me, has never been about his ability. It's been about his availability. when he's ready to play and when he's out there, he's typically pretty productive. Now, again, he's taking it to a different level this year. But I don't have any concerns about you signing Forsberg to a contract, and all of a sudden he just falls off the table. No. Like, I think he's too good for that.
Just like Josi didn't fall off the table.
Yeah.
You know, some guys do to a certain extent. Like, two guys that the Preds traded away, but in both cases, I think it injuries had a lot to do with that.
Agreed.
With both of them. So, availability, he's been good. Yeah, this isn't like, oh, he decided to start trying in the contract year. I mean, it's the same thing with, to me, like Landry. Landry got the production. He got better, but that's what you're supposed to do. You're still a young athlete, and you should be working to get better. And so I expect Landry to keep playing well after he signs with whoever. And I don't know if you expect Forsberg to stack a bunch of 40s in a row here, but, yeah, this isn't some out-of-body experience he's having right now.
I mean, look, he's typically been, in his best years, he shot around 12, 13, 14%. And right now he's at 22. I mean, it's a big difference. I get that. He's also playing with guys this year. Number one, the power play is a lot better this year, which how many years in his career have they had a good power play here? Not very many. He's playing with two guys right now where, you know, as good as Jofa was, like at the height of Jofa, were they ever as good as this Granlund line's been this year? I mean, it's close, but I don't know that they were this good. I mean, it's...
They had some stretches where they were pretty...
They're pretty lethal.
Yeah.
But this is...
I can't believe you just said Jofa, by the way.
I know. Did it just for you. We come up with a name for this line yet, by the way?
No, but I don't like that name.
Okay. I'm just checking. You're the one that wants to name all the lines.
This one needs a good name.
But again, like, I get it. I get the hesitation of, all right, well, this is a awfully convenient time for Philip Forsberg to score 40 for the first time in his career. But, like, what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to just let him walk if you're David Poile? That'd be a tough sell for me.
Yeah, but, hey, and then they keep him, they fall apart late, don't get in the playoffs, or they get in the playoffs, they lose in a five-game series, and then he goes somewhere else. And then there will be a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking on it.
Sure.
But I got to say that if I was in that spot, if they are in a good position, first of all, you do what we talked about last week, whatever you want to call it, actively shopping or doing your due diligence. The second term is preferred. That's really what it is. And you know, if someone comes with something just outrageous, then I think you have to consider it. But, you know, if this team doesn't go into the tank here in the next few weeks, it's just a hard sell to not give it a shot. Just like Dan Rosen said earlier on the show, I mean, Colorado's the clear best team in the West. You would certainly not be favored to beat Colorado. Colorado is not unbeatable, especially just in a – I don't know that they're – until they prove that they are, and they may well, like Tampa Bay did, but I'm not sure that they're ideally built for the playoffs.
Well, they haven't proven it yet. That's right. The thing. Like,
at some point, they probably will because they're so freaking good.
Look, we've talked about how good Colorado is the last couple of years. Now, I think this team is taking it to a different level with Colorado, but they haven't got out of the second round yet. I mean, it's been a process for Colorado.
So if you're a good team that is going to get into this tournament and you feel good about your goaltending, it's a hard sell to trade away your best offensive player.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it just is. And I understand the argument the other way. I really do. I'm not saying it's a slam dunk. It's not easy. That's why we talk about it so much. But that's the way I would lean.
Well, and to the point of, you know, falling apart before the deadline, it could happen. But, I mean, you've got Seattle and San Jose this week. Those are your only two games. You ought to win both of those games if you're the Predators. I know it's on the road, but you ought to win both of those games. And then you just got a massive week next week with Dallas at home, Anaheim at home, who's right behind you, St. Louis, who's right in front of you at home, and Minnesota on the road. That's a big week next week.
Whew. Big week, and, you know, this is now, you know, big save Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Going to get a little more work here.
Ryan in Nashville texting in says, I think the holdup with Forsberg signing is Poile not wanting to give out a no-trade clause or no-movement clause like he always has a problem doing. This coming from Ryan in Nashville. Very well could be.
That's kind of That's kind of how I feel about it too. Without knowing, I've not been told that, but makes sense.
Kyle texting in says, "Sure, but do you pay him for being a 30 goal scorer or a 40 goal scorer?" That's coming from Kyle on the text line. I don't know that there's a set number that identifies 30 or 40.
If he was a consistent 40 goal scorer,
he'd be making $10 million plus.
He'd be a $10 million guy.
But he's not that, and he's not going to make that. Like,
right, and he's not going to get that off the 1 year.
No, and look, I think he's going to end up in between 8 and 9. I've been pretty consistent with saying 8.5. Now he could end up, I guess, a little bit more than that. You know, Elliot Friedman was on DDC last week and talked about how that's kind of the sweet spot for the Predators. You're probably not paying him more than Josi. And honestly, like, I don't think he should be paid more than Josi. Josi is, to me, outside of your goalie, just on the nature of the position, Yossi's the most important player on this team.
He's a top. He's your captain.
He's elite.
Top five defenseman in the league.
Yeah.
Forsberg is not a top five forward in the league.
He's not. So I don't think Forsberg's going to make more than $9 million. Like, is he worth 8.5 and he scores 30? To me, yeah. With what he does on the ice, I think he is. I think the other thing to keep in mind is eventually, not any time in the next couple of years, but eventually the cap's going to go up again because TV money from ESPN's kicked in. Like, it's going to go up. So I think that's something to keep in mind as you move forward here too. It's not and I think Willie Donick laid this out perfectly at the beginning of the season. You're thinking about it in terms of how much money that you're paying Forsberg and the cap hit that goes along with it. I get it. From an overall franchise standpoint, his cap hit's only going up $2 million a year,
right.
$2.5 million a year. It's not insignificant, but it's not like you're changing your total financial picture signing Forsberg to a deal.
Yeah.
They still got plenty of cap room.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just going to say that. The situation you're in, you do this and you still can go get someone and strengthen yourself and be a little bit more equipped for a run. You move him, you're taking a couple steps back to try to get it back there.
We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. Get your thoughts on the stadium series. What did you think of the environment? What did you think of the day at Nissan Stadium? We'll get to those coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland coming up to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We'll get his thoughts on a wonderful weekend here in Nashville with the Stadium Series. Taking your thoughts right now on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Apparently, the Green Bay Packers will be playing in London this upcoming season.
Against?
I haven't seen. Just says they'll be in London, playing in Tottenham.
The headline, Love Takes London.
Yeah, be real good stuff. Adrian Amos, who is a safety for the Packers, has just tweeted in all capital letters, no, with a bunch of O's in there. I don't think the trip over to London is very popular with the players anymore. I think that's kind of played out at this point.
Yeah. Huh, that's interesting. You feel like, you know, London is cool.
Yeah.
But in the middle of a season, just kind of disruptive. You probably don't have too much time to enjoy it anyway. Then you're all messed up, jet lag, time zone.
Yeah.
Whatever. Have some fish and chips.
It looks like the, I will say, the Packers and the Jags are both playing in London. It says the Saints are, too, so that's three teams. So I guess they're going to need another one to come out there at some point. The Titans are eligible. I'm just saying.
They are.
They wouldn't put Titans and Packers in London, would they? 2-1 seeds from last year?
Hmm.
Like, that seems
they usually
to me
don't
like,
have very good games over there.
They don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, they, like that kind of seems like a Sunday night football type game, Titans-Packers.
They're trying to step it up, step up the London game.
Well, maybe so.
Let's get some better 9 a.m. football going.
Be real fun. Let's go to a text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, if Poile decides to trade for a top six forward, who do you think he should go after? If Tomas Hertl is on the market, I think that would be the best possible move. Well, he'll probably be on the market. I don't think San Jose is going to be able to sign him. Do you see Poile going after a rental? Especially a rental like that. Like, it's one thing to go after a rental and not give up much to get one. Like, if you're going after Hertl, you're giving up a first-round pick at least and probably something else.
I mean, again, if you're getting a rental, then why don't you just Why isn't Forsberg your rental?
Well, maybe let's even if they sign him. Like, let's say they sign Forsberg to an extension, so then this you're going after something else.
This is – oh, okay. So this is – you kept Forsberg, you signed him, and you're going big. No, I don't think that's going to happen. Do you?
I don't think they're going big, no. I wouldn't be surprised. If they got a rental, I'm not going to be surprised if they get a rental. Like, Cali Yarncroke's a rental.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. But if it's Hurdle, I'd be surprised.
They're not mortgaging. I don't think. Hey, I guess anything's possible. But I'd be surprised if they're seriously mortgaging futures for someone at the trading deadline.
What a weekend it was this weekend. Stadium Series was awesome. I know the result did not go the way that Predators fans wanted it to, but the environment was awesome. I was walking down Broadway and over by 5th and Broad and down by the pedestrian bridge where Winter Park was. It was incredible on Saturday. There were Lightning and Preds fans as far as the eye can see. You know, Tampa Bay, I think, showed well. They had 20, 25,000 fans hanging out around here, which, again, I think is great. I think when you have games like this, having lots of fans from both teams is a really good thing. I thought the Predators fans were awesome. I thought they showed. I mean, there were probably, 40, 45,000 Preds fans in that place. It was awesome.
Well, that's the thing is, so it was awesome. And apparently, or reportedly, 20,000 Tampa Bay fans in the stadium. I mean, I know they bought their allotment up quickly. It didn't sound like they had a third of the stadium to
me. It didn't. And, like, Predators fans were pretty loud.
So, I mean, I almost wonder if it was about 50,000 Preds fans.
Could be. And it was a lot.
I mean, that would add up, 50 to 18.
Yeah.
It was more than double. I had to admit.
Oh, yeah.
Now, according to Jared, it was 53% Tampa Bay fans.
Is that confirmed?
I'm just guessing.
Okay. Were there Bills fans in the stadium on Saturday?
The Bills also had 12,000 fans there. They've never left, actually. They've lived in the
camping
stadium
out.
Since they took it over back in the fall.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Nate, who wants to weigh in on the Stadium Series. Nate, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, y'all. First off, I got to apologize to the show because when I called in, I just called Michelle Caroline. I guess that shows
just
how
much habits.
Everybody partied this weekend.
Well,
forget, watch some brain cells there.
That's right.
but yeah, my favorite part was, and this has nothing to do with the outcome of the game or anything, but my favorite part was the entire pregame. Me and my friends and family got down to the lots basically right after they opened, and we walked across the bridge to the Walk of Fame Park, and that was a lot of fun. Showed one of my best friend's girlfriends around Broadway just because she's never been to Nashville, so that was cool. But the best part was when we were tailgating, we had a friend bring her boss, and we thought it was going to be him and maybe two friends, but he ended up bringing like six people. So we had like 13 people just tailgating, eating, having a great time. And I don't know that we could ever top this as a hockey environment for an outdoor game or really anything. Cause it was just, like y'all said, it was just an amazing weekend.
Yeah. Thanks.
And I think Pekka deserves to, raise the cup if the Preds are ever fortunate enough to win one. So
thanks for the call, Nate. We appreciate it. I mean, the environment was awesome. Like, there was, and I talked to a couple of buddies. The Stanley Cup was out there, so they had the Stanley Cup in this tent outside in the parking lot at Nissan Stadium. They stood in line for over 2 hours to go take a picture with the Stanley Cup. There were so many people in line to see the Stanley Cup, which, again, if you've never seen it, it's awesome. Like, I would recommend it, but it's
the greatest sports trophy.
Yeah, it was. The Stanley Cup was out there. You know, they had a concert going on in like Lot R over there, out there at the Nissan Stadium. Tailgating was everywhere. It was great. I mean, it was a great environment. Dirk Bentley, Miranda Lambert. I guess I never really thought about it from that angle until Dan Rosen talked about it earlier. But that probably is, in terms of an event like this, I mean, that probably is by far the two biggest acts that they've ever had for the Stadium Series or Winter Classic.
Yeah, I don't know the list of acts. I mean, assuming then that they've never had Creed, because obviously that would be tops, wherever that may have been. But
I was, you know, when they started bringing out people every stoppage the other night, I did think about it. I was hoping for a little Scott Stapp action.
Oh,
didn't
man.
See it, though.
Wow, that would have just set the press box aflame. By the way, Teresa Walker was rocking to Miranda Lambert. She was right next to me. and I was all the way there for it.
Andrew texting in says, hearing Preds fans loving a real pregame experience is awesome. Start coming to Titans games, and you can literally tailgate almost every Sunday. This is coming from Andrew.
Literally.
I would imagine that there are Preds fans that are also Titans fans that do tailgate.
I would think so.
I think there's a large crossover in those fan bases.
I feel like this was very much a joint effort of Titans and Preds for whatever rivalry there may be. Right? I feel like it was a good blending of the two franchises and fan bases.
It was nice to see Taylor Lewan and Brett Kern out there for the pregame puck ceremony. And then Pekka picks up a catfish, and I guess from Lewan, and tosses it out there. And he almost hit the cameraman.
Yeah, so that's what he was, that great picture freaking out of him. And then my man Catfish Jake, take one for the team, buddy. Outstanding. Did he get kicked out then?
I mean, I would assume
he probably
so.
Probably did, which sucks. Like, they actually should have put him in a suite after that, you know?
Yeah. Well, my thing is, like, well, I guess I get it. You don't want people running on the field, so that's the thing.
But it's Catfish Jake.
It's Catfish Jake, man.
I mean, come on.
He got kicked out of Pittsburgh, too. So some pretty big events. Catfish Jake has just been chucked.
Well, he was facing death row in Pittsburgh for about a day, so.
By the way, the Titans may need to find whoever that security guard was and just sign him to a contract, see what they got to work with there. It could have been Vrabel.
Well, you know, there's the picture of Vrabel and Will Compton with the cake, with the Coach of the Year cake. Maybe it was Compton trying to show off for Vrabel and show him, like, why they should give him another shot.
Hey, man, sign me to a contract.
Hopefully that was Compton.
I think my favorite part of the game on Saturday, outside of the game itself, which, by the way, the game was, I think it was a good game. The Predators, I thought, played really well in the first period. Second period, Tampa kind of slammed the door a little bit and I think reminded everybody that they are who they are for a reason and they're a really good team. And now that Kucherov's healthy, like, I thought he was awesome the other night. You know, Braden Point, to me, it's crazy to say this, but Braden Point might be their best player outside of Hedman. Like, I think Hedman's really good. Vasilevskiy's really good. Nobody ever talks about Braden Point, and he is really darn good. He was great the other night. Stamkos, I mean, that was an absolute laser beam that he had on his goal. So they are who they are for a reason. I thought the Predators played well. I think my favorite part of the game was when Litt came out there and played my own worst enemy. That was good stuff. Brett scored right after it. I'm just saying.
They did.
Maybe not a coincidence.
They did score right after it. I mean, they remind me of a Blink-182 cover band, you know. But it worked.
It worked, and they played Tim McGraw right after it. I'm going to venture to say that was the first time they've ever played Tim McGraw.
They sounded just fine doing it, too.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donick and Chase, also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. We'll get his thoughts on the week that was for the Nashville Predators and what it means for this team as they move forward. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.